a question flitted through the young man's mind. What's a good-looking girl like you doing killing a guy like me? The year is 2042, when the old and feeble outnumber the young and productive, and volunteers are called heroic for cooperation with the ominous Youth Initiative in order to free up dwindling resources for more able-bodied citizens. Such is a future reality envisioned by Dr. James Dobson in his new novel, co-authored with Kurt Bruner, called Fatherless.
Really, I'm seeing changes that have not occurred in my lifetime. And the unrest, I think, is certain to increase. And if you look 30 years into the future, that's what pops up.
Warning signs point to a world turned upside down, a future none of us would ever wish on our children or their children, if they even have any. In a foreboding cautionary tale set 30 years from now, the long-term impact of falling fertility and an aging population has created a dark world. But as Kurt Bruner points out, there is reason for hope.
People will read these novels and realize, yes, it's getting darker and darker, but I, right now, today, can love my spouse, can nurture my children, can pour into my grandchildren, and realize that it's the creation of those bright spots that will over time dissipate the darkness that's rising.
What can happen to humanity in a society where growing up with the protective love of a father becomes the exception rather than the norm? That's what Dr. James Dobson and Kurt Bruner ask and depict in Fatherless.
Despair is not what is needed right now, but discernment and willingness to address the problems and the issues that we face, and at least recognizing them and understanding them.
Coming up, a discussion about an entertaining trilogy of novels by these two well-known authors. Welcome to this special radio presentation with Dr. James Dobson, Kurt Bruner, and Chris Fabry, talking about Dr. Dobson's and Kurt Bruner's new novel, Fatherless. This is the first of three books aimed at providing entertaining stories while addressing the disturbing trends we see all around us today. Dr. James Dobson is the founder and president of Family Talk in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and radio host of Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. He's the author of more than 30 books on the preservation of the family that have touched the lives of millions. Kurt Bruner is the author of more than a dozen books, a former vice president at Focus on the Family. He serves as pastor of spiritual formation at Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas, and on the adjunct faculty of Dallas Theological Seminary. Kurt is also president of Home Point Incorporated, helping local church leaders create a culture of intentional families. Here's our host, Chris Fabry, with Dr. James Dobson and Kurt Bruner, as they talk about their book, Fatherless, the first novel in their new fiction trilogy.
Dr. Dobson, Kurt, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris. I always enjoy working with you.
Thanks for the honor.
Dr. Dobson, first question I have is the dedication to Fatherless. It's to Chuck Colson. Why?
Well, because both Kurt and I greatly admired Chuck Colson. He was one of my closest friends, and he just had a way of perceiving the culture from the perspective of Scripture, and as such, he had just great influence on me through the years. It reminded me a lot of my dad, although we weren't that farther apart in age, and I miss him greatly today. I just wish Chuck knew and could review the work that we're doing in this trilogy. I know he would have some great insight for us.
Kurt, anything to add to that?
Well, I would only add that Chuck Colson was part of a generation of leaders who foresaw many of the things that we depict in these novels coming and started giving early warning signs. We hope by dedicating it to Chuck Colson, we in some ways honor an effort he put decades into, and that is saying, hey, evil is evil, but the good can overcome.
Kurt, let's talk about the power of a story the power of identifying with this character that, you know, is on the page and kind of jumps off the page. What can that do for good or ill for the person who's reading?
Well, you know, we live in story, don't we? Our whole existence is because God, the grand author of the grand drama, has put us in scenes, in a particular scene, in a particular time, in a great narrative that's unfolding, of which he's the author. And we know that ultimately the end of that story is one of redemption. But there are also very, very dark scenes. There are also very troubling moments and disturbing moments. And in every great story, there's conflict. There's good, there's evil, there's redemption, there's love, you know, the guy, will he get the girl? And all of those things play out in all great stories. And the reason we're excited about portraying what's coming, what the trends are telling us is coming, in story form. And throughout history, literature has been a powerful tool in depicting realities, depicting trends, depicting themes that are inherent in the gospel. And that's what we tried to do here. It can be something as simple as Charles Dickens, who wrote A Christmas Carol. And you remember the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future, all of which points to that process of repentance in his life, which is a Christian theme. Or Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, which is about grace versus the law. Dostoevsky, who wrote about the fact that if there is no God, then all things are permissible. So literature has always been a powerful mechanism for capturing the heart as well as relaying profound spiritual truths.
Dr. Dobson, take me back to your childhood or formative years. Was there ever a story that grabbed you, that you felt like you, as you were reading it, you were living it?
If you don't mind, let me answer it a different way, and then I'll answer the one you're posing now.
Okay, sure.
All right. The most influential person who ever lived, of course, was Jesus when he walked the dusty streets of ancient Jerusalem and Galilee. And how he did that conveyed his truths to as many as 5,000 people at a time. And what did he do? He told stories. He told parables, and who knows how he actually told them. You know, he described, for example, a dirty, miserable pauper named Lazarus who was hungry and needy, and the dogs were licking his sores. And he crawled past an open door where someone, I guess the servants, had set a lavish table. And it was falling over the side and falling to the floor, and the dogs were lapping it up. And Lazarus said, if only I could have a few morsels that are falling to the floor. And you can imagine how the people were moved by this gripping story. Now, when it's reduced to writing, even in the scripture, we don't really know how that story was told, but Jesus told one after another, and people were deeply affected by those stories. I believe now that a story, a good story, especially one that's true, has the opportunity to get through to the hearts of people. And in this case, novels have been chosen for the process, and I think it will be very useful.
Was there ever a novel in your childhood or growing up years that you felt that about, that you were just, as you were reading, you were just immersed in it?
Well, I was greatly influenced by fiction when I was in college. I've focused my life on nonfiction since then because that's what I write. In fact, this effort to communicate through fiction is my first venture into that genre, if you will. But yes, I took great books classes in college, and I was greatly influenced by Steinbeck and so many other the great authors, especially English literature. And those things really had an impact on me. This is why, Chris, that I speak in stories. If you just look at my first film series and the one we're working on now and what I do on the radio, it's largely reduced to stories because that carries meaning.
Kurt, follow up on that. Do you recall being immersed, getting into a story like that in your childhood or formative years?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm a huge fan of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings by way of example.